What if the armies of the Lord picked up and dusted off their swords, vowed to set the captive free and not let Satan have one more? What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate, took a stand upon God's promise and stormed hell's rusty gates? What if his people prayed and those who bear his name would only seek his face, yeah, and turn from their own way?
If my people call by my name.
This is our concluding message in our sermon series, Prayer Force. Over the last few weeks, we've been learning some important things about what the Bible says about prayer. The first week, we talked about the purpose of prayer, and we learned there are three primary reasons to pray. First, to intimately know, love, and worship God. Second, to help us recognize our daily dependence on Him. And third, to conform our lives to His will and His ways. In week two, we talked about the power of prayer, and we learned that as we read through the Gospels, we're captivated by the amazing miracles that Jesus does, we're astounded by his authoritative teaching, but underneath these spectacular things is something that you almost miss unless you look carefully. We find that Jesus set an example of devotion to prayer by intentionally setting aside times to be with God, away from people, and away from distractions. And if we want to experience the power of God in our lives, we also must be devoted to prayer. Last week, we talked about the pattern of prayer, and we took a closer look at the Lord's Prayer. And we learned that Jesus did not intend for us to pray that prayer word by word, verbatim. He meant it to be a model of how we should pray. And we learn that prayer is about far more than just asking for things. In fact, somebody put it together in an acronym that makes it really easy to remember, represented by the word ACTS. The letter A stands for adoration. And this is when we just adore God for who He is. We recognize Him as our Creator, the sustainer of our lives, our Heavenly Father. And we tell Him how much we love Him. The C stands for confession, in which we confess our sins to Him and in a very vulnerable state present ourselves to Him. T stands for thanksgiving, and this is where we thank Him for the many blessings He's brought into our lives. And only after we've adored Him, confessed to Him, and thanked Him comes the S, which is supplication or making requests. Unfortunately, too many people jump into prayer asking God for things without doing any of the others. And this was the point of Jesus' model prayer. So today, as we have our concluding message in this series, I want to ask another question. Why does God seem to answer the prayers of some people and not others? Have you ever asked that question? Have you ever felt that way? Maybe you've prayed for something and sincerely asked God for something, and it just didn't seem to happen. But somebody else asked for things, and their prayers just seem to get answered. And you might wonder, is it their faith? Is that why their prayers get answered? Is it the way that they pray? Do they just have a better relationship with God than I do? Well, I'd like to suggest this morning that the answer may well be that they never give up praying. And so the title of today's message is The Persistence of Prayer. And I'd like us to go to Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, and I want to share with you a passage that may be familiar to you from the Sermon on the Mount. This is the way the New International Version puts it, and it may be most familiar to you in this way. Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now when you read that, you think, man, that is great. All I have to do is ask or seek and knock, and my prayers will be answered. But again, if you've ever experienced a time where your prayers aren't answered, this brings up a lot of questions, doesn't it? Well, I want us to focus on these three words, ask, seek, and knock for a moment. The first thing I'd like you to notice is these words describing prayer are all verbs. They're action words. So we must understand that prayer is active rather than passive. Now, Jesus' words are in the form of grammatically what we would call an imperative or a command. And if you like grammar, you're really going to like this next part. In the language in which the New Testament was written, Greek, there are two different kinds of commands. The first is what we would call aorist imperatives that indicate an immediate single action. For instance, if there was a fire or some other emergency that we needed to evacuate the building, someone would say, "Get out now," and that would indicate an immediate single action. But there's another kind of command in the Greek that's called the present imperative. And present imperatives indicate a continuing action. It's something that you start doing, but you continue or keep on doing. And I want you to know that all of these commands, ask, seek, and knock, are present imperatives, meaning Jesus is telling us that this needs to be a continuing action. So perhaps a better understanding of the Greek translation would look like this: keep on asking and you will receive. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. Do you see the difference? It's not a one-time action, it's a continuing action. So I'd like to encourage you to open up the chair Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 7. You'll find this on page 776, and I'd like you to follow along in a chair Bible to see what the New Living Translation says, how it translates this passage. Now, I do want you to keep your Bibles open here because we will continue reading beyond verses 7 and 8, but right now, we're just going to read those two verses. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." So you see how the New Living Translation helps us see these verbs as a continuing action. And if you are continuing a certain action, that's where I get the word persistence as a part of our sermon title today, the persistence of prayer. But I also want you to notice that there is an increasing intensity in these verbs. Asking is simply to make a request. This is where prayer might begin. We ask God for what we need, and we have faith that he will listen and answer our prayers. Seeking is asking plus action. When you seek something, you actually rearrange your priorities to search for what you're looking for until you find it, right? Have you ever misplaced your car keys? And man, when you can't find your keys, you drop everything and you start looking so you can find them so you can get to where you want to go. Or have you ever misplaced your glasses? You search all around. You stop what you're doing and you look around till you find them. Knocking is asking plus action plus attitude. This is the boldest kind of prayer in which you display persistence. You keep on knocking until the door is opened. Now, there are many examples of persistent prayer in Scripture. I want to point out a few from the life of the prophet Elijah. There's some examples in the book of 1 Kings that are pretty amazing. The first one is in 1 Kings chapter 18. Now Elijah is facing a contest with the prophets of Baal. 450 false prophets of Baal, and they have built an altar, and they put a sacrifice on it, and they're praying to Baal to bring down fire from heaven and consume the sacrifice. And so they pray, and they cry, and they wail, and they cut themselves hour after hour, and Baal doesn't answer their prayers. And Elijah even pokes a little fun at him. But when Elijah builds his altar and puts the sacrifice on it, just to make a point, he deluges it with water. And then the scripture says in 1 Kings 18, 37 and 38, he prayed once and God sent fire from heaven, and it not only consumed the sacrifice, but all the water and the altar and everything. Now, I think God answered the first time because he was trying to make a point. You can call to Baal all day and he's not going to answer because he's a false god. But you talk to me and I'm going to answer. But that wasn't always the way it went with Elijah. In fact, just before that, in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 21 and 22, there was a widow who had a son that also died. And when Elijah was praying for this dead son of the widow, he prayed three times before the boy came back to life. He didn't just pray once or twice, he prayed three times before God answered the prayer. And then after the encounter with the prophets of Baal, back to 1 Kings 18, in verses 41 to 44, we see that there had been a drought for 3 years, and Elijah prayed that God would send rain and end those 3 years of drought. So the scripture says he prayed seven times before the first cloud appeared. Why did God wait till the seventh time? I don't know. But one thing I do know, Elijah was persistent in his prayers and God answered them. There's another way of being persistent in prayer, another spiritual discipline that we can do in addition to prayer. The Bible calls it prayer and fasting. Fasting is when we make the sacrifice of going without food. And instead of spending time preparing and eating food, we devote that time to prayer. And the Bible is full of examples of people who prayed and fasted. King David prayed and fasted for 7 days, asking God to spare the life of his son. The king of Nineveh proclaimed prayer and fasting for the entire city in response to Jonah's message. We don't know how long they fasted and prayed, but when Jonah first showed up and started preaching, he told them they had 40 days to repent or the Lord would destroy their city. Queen Esther asked people to pray and fast for her for 3 days before she approached King Xerxes with the request to save the Jewish people. Ezra and Nehemiah prayed and fasted as they rebuilt the city walls of Jerusalem. In the New Testament, we're told Saul of Tarsus prayed and fasted for 3 days after meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus. And later, the church in Antioch prayed and fasted before sending Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. Probably the most memorable time of prayer and fasting was with Jesus after he was baptized and he went out into the wilderness. Do you remember how many days he prayed and fasted? That's right, 40 days. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave some instructions about fasting. They're recorded in Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18. Jesus says, "When you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father who knows what you do in private. And your Father who sees everything will reward you." Now let's jump back to Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11. Look what else Jesus says about praying. Verse 9, "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" See, Jesus is helping us put it in perspective, and anybody that's a parent understands this. You want to give your kids good gifts, but do you give your kids everything they ask for? Of course not, because not everything they want will be good for them. And in the same way, we have to use our judgment to help our kids. God does the same when we make requests of Him. In the book I introduced you to a couple of weeks ago, Too Busy Not to Pray, look what the author says about this. If the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says go. But did you know that even the Apostle Paul didn't get answers to his prayer in the way he wanted, even though he was persistent? We're told about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In the opening verses of this chapter, we're told that Paul was taken up into heaven and he had some kind of vision of heaven. And when he came back, the Bible says that God gave him a thorn in the flesh so he wouldn't become prideful. Now, we're not told what that thorn specifically was, if it was a physical ailment or problem, or if it was something spiritual in nature. But look what Paul said about his persistence in prayer. He says, 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So even the Apostle Paul was persistent in prayer, but the Lord didn't answer his prayer exactly as he wanted to. But his answer said, Paul, just trust in me. My grace is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. And Paul began to realize that if he was going to try to do all of this in his own strength, in his own power, there'd be a limit to what he could do. But because of his weakness, it taught him to depend on God, and then he could do way more than he could do on his own. In the book, The Battle Plan for Prayer, the Kendrick brothers say this about the persistence of prayer. Persistence is a necessary part of praying effectively. Whether God answers in 25 minutes or 20 years, we should never give up on Him. In Scripture, God reveals that He wants us to trust Him patiently on our knees. He delights when we walk by faith and show our dependency on Him as we come before His throne. In fact, He may use delays in our lives to reveal our hearts and our level of trust in Him. In the meantime, we must wait upon the Lord in faith. I don't know if you realize it, but Jesus even gave us an example of His persistence in prayer. On the night He was betrayed, after sharing the Passover meal with His disciples and telling them to remember what He was about to do by taking the Lord's Supper, in Matthew 26, between verses 36 and 44, I want you to see that Jesus actually prayed 3 times. Check this out. Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane. He prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done." So he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. Jesus prayed, asking God, "If there's any other way, please take this cup of suffering away from me. But I want your will be done, not mine." As we come into our time of communion today, I want you to think about this. the persistence of prayer. The persistence of presenting your requests, but also the persistence of acknowledging, I want your will to be done as my heavenly Father and not mine. Let's pray as we prepare our hearts for this time of remembrance. Father, we thank you so much for the example of Jesus, that even he was persistent in prayer. Even on the night before he died, he asked you 3 times if there was any other way to take this away from him. And yet he affirmed that he wanted your will to be done and not his own. As we reflect on Jesus' sacrifice, that he lived a sinless life and did not have a sin debt, yet he decided to give his life as a payment for our sins, help us as we talk with you just now and examine our lives, and help us have that same resolve to live our lives to show the thanksgiving we have for what Jesus did for us. As we take this bread and drink this cup, help us remember his body and blood that was paid to cover the debt of our sin. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're invited to celebrate with us in the Lord's Supper. In the 16th century, the great reformer Martin Luther said, "Pray as if everything depends on God, then work as if everything depends on you." That is asking, seeking, and knocking. We have another example of this persistence in prayer in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. If you'd like to follow along in your chair Bibles, it's on page 842. Check this out. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. See the persistence there? Look what he says. "There was a judge in a certain city who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, 'Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy.' The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, 'I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests.' Then the Lord said, 'Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith?" Persistence deepens your relationship with God and compels your heart to examine what it really wants most. Do you really want God's will? Do you want God even more than you want what you're asking for? Persistence in prayer is the proving ground of spiritual growth, spiritual vitality, and spiritual health. Because our natural inclination is to use God when we need Him rather than to love Him, only persistence in prayer can purge and purify your hearts. As we wrap up our message today, I'd like to put everything together in a way perhaps you might not have heard it before. And I want to encourage you to just pray now.
Somebody once told me the Lord is not your roadie. You ain't the star, so do it yourself. I said, look, it's kind of dumb. If there's things that I need done, it's a shame not to call on the Lord's help. Well, my prayers start coming and they don't stop coming. Read through the rules and I think I found something. Didn't make sense not to get more done. I pray real hard cause a heavenly son showed what to do, said knock and seek. So what's wrong with praying and asking? You better go into Luke, bro. 11:9 if you don't know. Pray now, it's a lost art. Get your day underway. Pray now, get a jump start. Get a move on, get faith. God is listening, you know. Only you can start praying, though. It's a cool case, so your praying gets bolder. You look it up, Luke 18, you let's go there. When the meanest of man met the winner, judge you as you know if you have the right scripture. I can see his face getting pretty thin. Woman gets annoyed, so he might as well give in. The world's like that, how about the Lord? God already likes you and you'll never get ignored. Pray now, it's a lost art. Get your day underway. Pray now, get a jump start. Get a move on, get faith. God is listening, you know. Only you can start praying, though. Go, look and Luke, go, go. Go, look and Luke, go, go. Go, look and Luke, go, go. Go, look and Luke. Pray now, it's a lost art. Get your day underway. Pray now, get a jump start. Get a move on, get faith. God is listening, you know. Only you can start. Somebody once asked Jesus, give us the capacity to get ourselves a faith that is great. Christ said, well, why you want help? You could move a little hill yourself if you would all use a little faith. Well, my prayers start coming and they don't stop coming. Read through the rules and I think I found something. Didn't make sense not to get more done. I pray real hard cause a heavenly son showed what to do, said knock and seek. So what's wrong with praying and asking? You'll never know if you don't go.
No.
You better try if you don't know. Pray now, it's a lost art. Get your day underway. Pray now, get a jump start. Get a move on, get faith. God is listening, you know. Only you can start praying, though. And God is listening, you know. Only you can start praying, though.
My challenge for you today is this. Be persistent in your prayers this week. I want to encourage you to keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking. Be persistent in your prayers, and especially as we reflect on the overarching prayer this year, our theme of each one, bring one. We read the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And sometimes we get overwhelmed. We think, I can't win the whole world. And so we don't win anyone. We don't even try. But my encouragement to you this year is to pray and ask God, I may not be able to win the world, but this year, help me bring one person into a personal relationship with Jesus and into connection with our church family. And you know what? God answers those kinds of prayers. And I want to give you a little extra nudge, too. I want you to choose a time this week to pray and fast. Maybe you've tried fasting before, but it's been a while. Maybe this will be a chance for you to revisit that spiritual discipline. If you have never fasted and prayed, this might be a good time for you to start. Just give it a shot. Pick a day and pick a meal and devote the time that you would have spent to preparing and eating that meal to focusing on prayer, to keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we thank you so much for all that you've taught us about prayer. We've learned about the purpose of prayer and the power of prayer and the pattern of prayer. And today, the persistence of prayer. Lord, as we continue to develop our relationship with you, we thank you. It's never too often to come and talk with our Father. Help us to be persistent in our prayers, and especially in this prayer for each one to bring one in our church family this year. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song?
I know a place where we can go to lay the troubles down, eating your soul. I know a place where mercy flows. Take the stains, make you whiter than snow. Like a tide, it is rising.